Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
We are continuing in our teaching series called Never Alone. Throughout this series, we're talking about struggles that many of us experience, but for one reason or another, we don't always feel comfortable talking about them in a church setting. Last week, we talked about depression and anxiety. If you missed that service, I would encourage you, it's recorded, you can go back and listen in online, and I would encourage you and invite you there, especially if that is an area of struggle, because it would be important for you, and kind of the point of this series is to know that you are not alone. One of the most powerful parts for me personally last week was at the end of each service, I just asked that if people were experiencing or wrestling with or dealing with anxiety and depression, if they would stand, and in each service, roughly half the room stood. And so today, maybe if you missed that, I want you to hear that, and there's a good chance that a third or half the room are with you today. And today, we're going to continue talking about heavy and sometimes hard issues, and today is specifically about broken or messy relationships. Often, as believers, we feel like we should have everything together. I jokingly told the folks at 8:30 prayer this morning in the kitchen, I said, I don't know if you've been to church, if you haven't had an argument at home and then hit church property and put on your church smile. Y'all are laughing because you've done that. And some of you are wondering, how did you know? Well, I can't really say. But anyway, our marriages, we believe, should be perfect, that our relationship with our kids would be without fault, and that politics would never be a problem at a family reunion. And because we come in, we hit that property line out there, and we put on a smiling face, it's easy to believe that we are the only ones struggling with relationships. And so as a result, you can see how this just progresses together. As a result of that, of this, all the smiling faces around us and that belief, we keep it to ourselves. We pull back from community into isolation, and so doing, we miss the opportunity of the help and encouragement that can come from others experiencing the same thing. And so our goal today is to shine light on these areas, specifically not light of condemnation or guilt or shame or judgment, but the light of hope, the light of encouragement, and the understanding that we are never alone in facing difficult relationships. As we would look to the Scriptures, so we take this idea and we go into the Scriptures. We don't make it very far into the story of Scripture before we encounter the first messy relationship. In fact, we only make it to Genesis chapter 3. Three whole chapters in this big long book is all it takes before we make it to the first messy relationship. Genesis 1 and 2, of course, is the creation account. God has created everything. It's perfect. It's beautiful. Everything is functioning just as it should. Adam and Eve are together with God in the Garden of Eden. There is unbroken relationship and fellowship between the first man and woman and with God. And things are awesome for like a minute. You see, in chapter 3, the enemy comes in, the devil comes in the form of a serpent, and he invites Eve, he tempts Eve to eat of the tree of life, which is something specifically God said, do not do. Well, she does. She listens to the voice of the enemy, and she disobeys God, and then she turns and gives her husband some, and he sins also. And what happens next is that their relationship is broken. And really, there's two relationships broken. Their relationship to God is fractured, and their relationship to one another will never be the same. Genesis chapter 3, beginning at verse 12, we get the first signs of this. It says, the man said, God shows up, right? I mean, I need to give a little context. God comes to find Adam and Eve. They're hiding. They feel the shame of what they've done, and they're hiding, and God comes after them. And when he begins to say, Adam, what's up? What happened? This is his response. The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some of the fruit from the tree and I ate it." Classic Adam. Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is it you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." What we see is a direct correlation between sin entering the human story and our relationships being broken. Adam, feeling the weight and responsibility of his own shame and guilt, makes the classic move of passing the buck to his wife. It was her fault. Don't do that, guys. And so the story of broken relationships begin. Adam and Eve have two sons, Cain and Abel. Cain becomes jealous and angry of his brother Abel, so he invites him out to the field and he kills him. We haven't made it very far. And I wish I could say things got better after this, but it doesn't. I don't think it's an exaggeration this morning to say that if you turn anywhere in your copy of Scripture, you can't hardly turn to a page that doesn't deal with a broken or messy relationship in one fashion or another. From Adam and Eve to Cain and Abel, through Noah, through Father Abraham, and even through Moses, all these giants of the faith faced broken and messy relationships. King David was a man after God's own heart, and he really made a mess of some things, if you know his story. Then his son Solomon comes along, and he has 700 wives and 300 concubines. Good night. Talk about broken relationships. And friends, that's only part of the story. If we come into the life and story of Jesus, he had friends that betrayed him and family that didn't believe in him. And I know that many of you today are also facing broken and messy relationships. Often, relationships in our story can be one of the greatest sources of suffering and pain in our lives. And the breadth of the relationship that could be broken is vast. It could be a marriage that's on the brink of divorce or the pain of a divorce finalized. It could be estranged children or siblings that don't talk anymore. Relationships that maybe never recovered from the response to COVID. That's still real today, folks. Relationships that have been broken or completely ended because of political differences, friends that have betrayed us, coworkers who've taken advantage of us, not to mention the things we ourselves have done to others in relationship. And friends, these stories are not one-off or even uncommon. I dare say most of them, if not all, are represented even in this room this morning in one way or the other. And so if you came in today, maybe today was your day you put on the church smile when you turned in. But if you came in today thinking you were alone, I want you to hear loud and clear, you're not alone. You're not walking this journey, this difficult path, alone. Part of our goal and desire in this series is that you would get to hear real stories. That you would get to see, put faces to this idea of never alone. And today, I want to invite my friend Angela Cole to come join me here on the platform. You've gotten to hear from her on a Sunday morning teaching and preaching content, but this morning we're just going to have a conversation about messy and broken relationships and the healing power of God. So I just want you to lean in as we have a conversation. I'm going to move some stuff out of the way here. Can you give us a good morning, y'all?
Good morning, y'all.
There it is. Can you tell us where you're from? That would be a good part of the story.
Yes. My upbringing was in Dublin, Virginia, which if you don't know, you just get on 81 and keep going south until you hit exit 98.
And you've got a Volvo plant there.
We have a Volvo plant. We do.
And a stoplight.
Yes. And a stoplight. That's about right.
That's it. Well, Miss Angela, a little bit about who you are and where you're from, but we're talking about broken relationships, the intro to everything we've talked about so far. The breadth of experience from relationships with parents or kids or spouses or coworkers and friends, there's a breadth of examples and stories that might be in the room this morning. But sure. Would you share with us your experience, your story of a messy or broken relationship? And you can start us wherever in that you would like.
Okay. Thanks, Jared. When Jared asked me to do this, well, he called me to his pretend office at the church. He doesn't have an office. He hides in a classroom, if you don't know that. And I totally did not expect this to be your question. I thought we were going to talk about something work-related. I mean, he said, hey, would you do this? And I was like, yeah. But I realized this week as I thought about it and prayed about it, I've never shared some of these things out loud before. Maybe there's some very, very close people in my life that know some of them, but I've never shared some of these things out loud. And part of it is because I want to honor my mom. I want to honor my mama. And just so you know, she's been gone this September, will be 4 years. She's in heaven. And to God be the glory for that. But to share a little bit of my story, I, like I said, grew up in Dublin, Virginia. My parents were divorced when I was 2. And I have joked, I don't even know how they ever connected, if you knew the two of them. I have no idea, except that I was on the way, and that's what you did. You got married when a little one was on the way. My papa was a Baptist pastor, and they got married in his living room. And it was not until I was about 8 years old, 8 or 9 years old. Some of you guys will remember those All About Me books that Scholastic sold, and you would do all these things. And I remember one day, I was like, Dad, what was your mom's anniversary? And he just rattled off March, blah, 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 1976. And I stopped and I was like, and you could hear the, oh. Because they had determined, I guess, a very long time ago, they weren't going to tell me that part of the story. I was born 2 months later, in case you're wondering. So that was just a reality. So my mom and dad separated. It was interesting. They always lived about 5 minutes from each other in the same town. My dad was a trooper in that area. My mom worked for the state highway department and literally worked on the road. So she was a very hard worker. And things looked nice. We always had a nice home, nice clothes, all the things. But there was brokenness in their own relationships. And for my mom, and I lived back and forth, mostly with my mom, but I lived back and forth. And for my mom, the feeling of the void was always gentleman. There was always a boyfriend or a date. And so she never remarried. She never remarried. And so for me, often it was the being pushed aside. That was the most important thing. Now, my mom was a beauty. I remember being at my mom's funeral, and Jared drove to be there. And I remember the guy was her cousin, who's a pastor, who literally said, I've never seen someone more beautiful in a hard hat. And I was like, okay, that's funny. But I cringed, you know, I cringed, because growing up, I was like, that was her story. She was beautiful. And that was how she lived. And so to back up a little bit, even early on, I knew that the Lord was with me. My granny was the dearest person in my life. That was my mom's mom. And she always made sure somehow I knew. And I remember early on knowing I needed him. I simply needed him. And so I always knew that these things were not the choices that God would have us make. And that was hard.
Yeah.
So,
in our conversation earlier in the week, you used the term happy dysfunction.
I did.
Can you tell us a little bit about what you mean by that and what some of that was?
Well,
was
it's a little bit about
relationship.
Yeah, it's a little bit about what you talked about. So I had a stepmom from she entered into my life at age 4. And if you've ever had a mom, a dad, a stepmom, and you've lived in different places, you know that there is dysfunction. But if you know me, I want everything to be happy. I like a bow on things. So early on, I would just call that happy dysfunction. That is one of the ways I dealt with it. And it was the back and forth. So I'll tell you a little bit more. I look at growing up, and my mom, though she worked to make things very beautiful, she decorated things beautiful, there was always gifts. There was always gifts, and that's how my mom chose to show love. But there was a shallow ability to have emotional relationship. And I've learned as an adult that that came from her own brokenness, that came from her own upbringing that you never talked about, that you never, there were no answers. My granny was an alcoholic and there were no answers, right? There's no stories because you weren't to talk about those things. You weren't to share those things. But my mom was, because of those things, and I didn't know this as a child, but as an adult, I can see it now. I didn't understand that she really could not care beyond what she did because she'd not dealt with her own brokenness. So for me, there were a lot of babysitters. There was a lot of, hey, can you guys keep Ange tonight? Hey, meaning my dad and stepmom. So that created tension. And there was a lot of places that I just was not home because she had other things to do. And I just created this. That's my happy dysfunction.
Yeah. Can you speak a little bit about how you saw God show up in some of the harder moments, whether that was in the early years or later as a teenager or, yeah, when was that low point in some of that tension and messiness, and how did you see God show up?
Well, the story at my dad's and stepmom's is for another day, but that was not easy either. And so I remember a specific time when I was getting ready to enter high school, and I would stay at my granny's and my on the farm anytime I could. That was my happy place, regardless. That was, I wanted to be there. But I remember a specific day that my mom came to pick me up, and I mean, I will tell y'all, she just wanted things the way she wanted them, and they were on her time, and they were, but she picked me up that day, and I had inconvenienced her because she had to drive up there to get me. And so I had inconvenienced her, and something broke in me that day. And it was just because of the way it was dealt with and the constant, like, you know, again, an inconvenience. And I don't have a victim mentality. I don't make that stuff up. I've had to deal with that, like being able to speak that and to know it was just my reality. It was just true. And so that day particularly, I don't know what broke in me. I would hope I wouldn't make this same decision now. I asked my dad and stepmom if I could just live with him. And it was because I knew one house would be easier than two. One battle would be easier than two. And so there were years that I was in high school that I was completely estranged from my mom. And my husband always says, wow, you chose this. And I said, it was just easier to have one. But those were low, low places. But I will tell you that in the midst of all of it, I knew God was near. I knew. And part of my testimony is God has always allowed me to be places that I needed him. And I drew close to him. And there was never a moment, I believe this with my whole heart, there was never a moment that I did not feel his presence and strength unless I walked away.
Yeah.
Unless I chose I'm going to fill this void or this hurt with something else. Never.
Yeah, that's good. You mentioned a little bit that we didn't talk about some things.
Oh, yeah.
And that's kind of what we're talking about in Never Alone.
Right.
Was it hard to talk about what you were going through with a church community or other believers or friends? Like, how was that experience and finding a place to share? Did you feel alone in what you were going through?
Oh, yeah. You weren't allowed to share those things. You know, I mean, you were afraid of trouble. You were afraid of creating more trouble. And you also didn't want to make your people look bad, right? Like, those are still your people regardless.
Like image maintenance,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, literally. I mean, and also I knew that if I did share, I was going to hurt the people. Because regardless of what was happening there, I loved them. They were my family. And a lot of times people don't, I mean, they just think, oh, she's just a kid. Oh, I mean, at some places, because most people didn't know that about, especially my mom. You know, there was a very kept image there. So
you're really talking about life behind the image.
It is. Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah. And I will tell you, that is also, Jared, I don't know what you're asking next, but I will tell you, that is when I decided, in all of these years and all of this, and the Lord holding and keeping me and protecting me, I'm going to tell you, protecting me. I decided at that point, this will be different for my family. I do not have to walk this same journey out. I can love and respect. I can do my part. I can forgive. I can do these things. But we will not live the same going forward. Yeah. My children will not experience the same.
That's good.
And that's only by God's help. Yeah. That's only because of Jesus.
Yeah. You know, and something we're going to talk about is like, there's hope.
Absolutely.
And somewhere in that journey, the Holy Spirit was empowering you to believe, to even think that it's possible, can be a work of grace.
Oh, absolutely. To know that that can be different, and to know, I mean, by God's grace, my mom put me on the church bus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
There's going to be some people real excited about the idea of a church bus now.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, thank God. Thank God I had it.
Yeah.
I mean, she could have driven me 2 minutes, but the church bus came, so.
Angela, would you talk, so life lived behind the image that we've put forward. What would you want to say to encourage, to inspire hope to that person that recognizes that in their story right now?
Right. The first thing I would say is everybody's responsible for their own response, for their own choices. I learned early that I couldn't control my mom's choices. I couldn't control others' choices, but I could be who God wanted me to be. And I was determined that I was going to walk that out in Him. I think one of the biggest hurts I had with my mom is two things. I think that I knew, and at some point she said, I've asked Jesus to come into my heart. She knew how important that was to me. And she said, I have asked Jesus to come into my heart. But she was the example to me that there was no fruit, that it was, I've asked Jesus to come in, but the rest of it I'm leaving on the table. And I knew there was more for her. That burdened me. And so I think that just being willing, I could only do that in myself. But I would also say, draw near to the Lord. And I know that my story is not as painful as some in the room. There are some that there is a lot more trauma. There's a lot more. But everybody's story is theirs.
Yeah.
And God can and will use it if you give it to Him. He
Romans
will use
8, 28.
It. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's good. Angela, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm going to have you come back up in just a little bit to pray. Okay. But would you all just help me show appreciation for Angela this morning? So we've sought to shed light, to just have a conversation that you might see that we are truly never alone. And though your story might be different, I would imagine there's some commonality there too. Man, I never really put together that life lived behind the image and the pain that can be behind what we try to put forward. But that's so good. That's so true to what we're getting at today. We want to, and I again recognize the limit of the help that we can give in a 30-minute message with a conversation and all that we're trying to do. But I want us to look to Scripture a little bit and try to embrace some concepts, some bigger ideas that we can begin to prayerfully discern and work out, flesh out with the Lord as we face and as we encounter messy and broken relationships. And so these are you might call it 10,000-foot view, because your situation, everybody's relationship is going to be unique, but I think there are some concepts and principles from Scripture that can help guide us appropriately in our context. And the first thing I would want to say and that we would understand is that God cares about your relationships. That He cares about you and He cares about the pain that you are experiencing in your relationship. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and He saves those who are crushed in spirit." Psalm 147, verse 3 says, "He heals the brokenhearted and He binds up their wounds." that you would understand today and begin to believe and put your trust that you are dearly loved by God, and what happens in your life and what's going on right now matters to Him. It matters to Him. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time." And verse 7, "Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you." Your translation there might read, "Cast your cares on Him, because He cares for you." And that would be, I think, the first thing for us to just sit in, to meditate on today, is that God cares about your relationships. And as the Lord cares, He cares about how we engage our relationships. As you look to the Scripture, we already talked about the immense story and teaching that is available there, and you begin to start looking for ways and principles that Scripture guides us in. If you look just at the Ten Commandments, six of the ten deal with how we relate to one another. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. Much of the Old Covenant law, the law of Moses, was setting up rules and guidelines and barriers or boundaries, if you will, for relationship. As you come into the teachings of Jesus, He summarized the entire law in two things, in two laws, two commandments. He said, "Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." And then Jesus, again, caring about our relationships, takes it a step further, and He says that we are to love our enemies. So neighbor or enemy, Jesus pretty much says, love them all. Now just because Jesus said it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Followers of Jesus, the Scriptures are our first place for guidance in relationships. Now, to be clear, that doesn't mean we don't seek counseling or professional help or seek the care of our community. It simply means that we are to be people of God's Word, to seek its wisdom and discernment as we navigate our relationships. Another piece, another concept, if you will, that we would see as you would look to the Scripture and see the guidance that it gives for relationship is we would see that forgiveness is essential. Forgiveness is essential. Jesus, in His Sermon on the Mount, arguably His most famous teaching, He says in chapter 6 of Matthew, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." In the way and teaching of Jesus, forgiveness is essential. It's even required of us as followers of Jesus. Now, I want to be clear, forgiveness does not mean forgetting. It doesn't even always mean reconciliation. It doesn't excuse what happened. Forgiveness is releasing the other person to the Lord. It's releasing your right to get back at them, to wish ill on them for what they did to you. It is a letting go and a giving it to the Lord. That's forgiveness. And again, because Jesus says it, does not mean it's going to be easy. Forgiveness might be a journey for you, but God would not require something of us He is not ready, able, and willing to grace us to fulfill. Forgiveness is essential. The Bible also recognizes that there are limits to what we can do in mending a relationship. Say, "Pastor, what do you mean?" Romans 12, 18. I quote this often. Listen to what the Apostle Paul writes about relationships here. He says, "If it is possible, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." Those are conditional clauses in there. We can only be responsible and a call to what we can do in relationship. And we may encounter relationships where it's not possible, where it's not wise, and it might not be safe for you to reconcile with that person. And Scripture recognizes that there is a limit to what we can do, but we are called as followers of Jesus. Lean in, do everything you can do, and leave the rest to the Lord. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. It might not be safe, smart, responsible for you to re-enter that relationship. And it's okay. Just do what depends on you. Seek what's possible with God's help. As the band begins to make their way forward, finally, perhaps most importantly for us today, and you heard this in Miss Angela's story, there is hope. There's hope in the midst of our broken relationships. I want to read a portion of Isaiah 61. This prophecy was speaking about the ministry of Jesus, and Jesus himself, as he began his ministry, he read from this text in Luke chapter 4 to kind of explain, to point back to Scripture for his identity and his work. In Isaiah 61, beginning at verse 1, says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me," this is again Jesus' ministry, "has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor." Friends, the Lord is here to bind up the brokenhearted, to comfort those who mourn, to provide for those who grieve, to bring beauty from where there was only ashes. Joy instead of mourning, praise instead of despair. That's the God we serve today. There is hope. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things God works together for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose." That's a process verse. It's an invitation to faith, to know or to believe that that broken relationship might not work out the way you had hoped. It might not be possible to live at peace with that person. But even if we will take those broken things, those painful things, and surrender them to God, that He can work even those things for our good. That might not make sense. That might not seem possible in our minds, but this is the God we serve. This is the invitation of faith that's laid out before us in the Scriptures, that we would trust Him and see what He can do. Friends, there is hope. But we have a choice in what we do in our relationships. We're going to continue to battle it out, to be defeated, to believe that we're alone, or will we trust God in the midst of those places? Will we not hide behind the image that everything's okay? Would we be vulnerable with one another to say, "Man, I'm really struggling with some relationships right now"? There's hope today, and you're not alone. We're going to take just a couple minutes to pray together before the band leads us in worship. But I'm going to ask you to be vulnerable today, to step out from behind the image. I told you last week when I invited folks to stand that were dealing with anxiety and depression, that was moving. And I'm going to ask you to do that today. To embody the message of this series. And so today, I'm going to ask you, if you're here today and you have in the past or you are currently struggling with a messy or broken relationship, would you stand? Would you be an embodied testimony to never alone? There's no pressure. I know, Angela, you're standing with us, and she's going to come pray. You're not alone today, friends. Everybody's story is different. It's unique, but you're not alone. I just ask Miss Angela to prepare and to pray for us in this moment.
Jesus. Lord, you know every story. And Lord, the beauty in it is that you are near and that you never move. So today, as these folks stand, and maybe even those who didn't stand, Lord, you know where they are. Remind them of that this morning. You know the hurt. You know the ins and outs of it. Lord, I was reminded this week, you remember and know and hold for me what I don't even remember. Thank you. But Lord, I don't have to hide. I don't have to have it all together. And nor does anyone in this room, because you are our help. You are where help comes from. And not only are you our help, you are our healer. You equip us and you give us what we need. And Lord, though every situation is different, you are a personal, individual Lord to each one of us, and you will meet us right where we are. So Lord, today, I pray that each person in this room, regardless of the story, regardless of the circumstances, Lord, that they will leave here with hope. And Lord, if it feels impossible, if it feels like there'll never be healing, Lord, remind them who you are. Remind them who you are. Lord, in the last days of my mama's life, you, even through three strokes, Lord, she was no longer able to fight. But you gave me the strength when I wanted to run to care for her. You gave us a redemptive 6 months. Lord, that is to your glory. So help us to have eyes to see what only you can do. And it's in your holy and perfect name. Amen.
The altars are open. As we respond in worship, I would invite you to stand. If you'd like someone to pray for you, I see Pastor Terry. She's going to head to the back. I'll be up in the front. And Miss Angela is also here. Would love to pray for you if you're in that place today. Let's worship.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.